Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein. This is Perek Chaf Bet of the Book of Yechezkel, Sefer Yechezkel, Chapter 22, a chapter that will go into great detail as to the various sins of the Jewish people. We've seen their sins in past generations, sins in this generation. Now it's going to again go into sins that they were doing in Yechezkel's generation. So it starts with Vahidvar Hashem Elai Lemor, Vata Ven Adam, Hatishbot, Hatishbot, Tir Hadamim, Vahudata, Et Kol Ta'al, Et Kol Ta'avuta. Hashem says to him, Hatishbot, it doesn't mean will you do it, it means come do it. Judge the city, tell it, and when you're judging, the point of judging meaning not announce sentence over it, but tell it all of the things that it has done wrong, all of its abominations, all the things that it's done. There's a Rashi Tanit that points out that there are 24 Averot that are going to be listed in this Perek. And so those 24 were going to be a serious indictment of the Jewish people of the time. And as I read it, one of the questions that I continually remind myself of is that you read it and you see what they've done wrong, and then you see their reaction of horror when they get punished, and you wonder about the disconnect between the two. Here they are doing all these things wrong, being told that they've done all these things wrong, being reminded that they do all these things wrong, and yet it does not penetrate in such a way that when punishment comes for those things, they say, oh, I know why this is coming. Rather, the reaction is really one of shock and of surprise that this is what God has chosen to do to them. So, we are going to spend today's parak, as we spent other parakim, having to review and to remind ourselves of all the things that generation were doing wrong. The Amarta Kolmar Hashem Elokim Ir Shofechet Dam B'Tochach Lavo Itah V'Asta Gilulim Aleha L'Tam'ah. So you say to them, this is a city, this is what Hashem says, this is a city that has murder in its midst, that has murder being committed in its midst, and its hour is going to come, meaning it's going to become the time to be punished for it, and then does worse things over and above it to defile the city even more. The Radak argues that when it says bitocha, it means that it was not only that there was murder being done, but it was being done in public. And there, that points out, that's even worse than ordinary murder. Ordinary murder is a crime, but if you do it in private or in secret, it's only done in secret, then at least the society as a whole is still at least paying lip service to the idea that it's a wrong. But here, if the murder is being done, is being done in public, so then you've lost that element to it. And then also he adds that it also means there's going to be more to murder being done inside of it, and the more will make it that much fuller with murder, as it was said to be true about the time of Menashe. And then when the pasuk refers to adding more gilulim l'tam'ah to defile it, the Radak is going to points out that there is a threefold or three-level idea of defilement that we should think about it. There are those things where you touch the tumah, and how likely you become tummy because you come into contact with something that creates tumah. Then there are tumot that are really become part of you, that are inherent to you, that yotzot megufo. And then the Radak throws in also, there is idol worship, which is the defiling of the soul, which is therefore the worst tumah of all. And he says it's these last two levels of tumah. There's the second level where it's coming from you. So he actually, I'm sorry, defines it as not things that come from you like being a zav, but having improper sexual relations, arayot. So that whole area of arayot, he says, is a level of tumah, and it's over the levels of tumah of arayot, which is a physical thing and not inherently a spiritual thing, but is a level of tumah. That level of aria, that level of tumah, and the level of idol worship is what causes galut to happen, causes the land of Canaan to kick out the non-Jews who lived there before us, and is going to cause them to kick us out as well. So that comes from the Torah, where Hashem says in Vayikra, "V'lo takiha aretz of kaim kasher ka'a," that the land shouldn't spit you out like it spit out, or barf you out like it spewed out the nations that came before you. So the Radak is seeing that is going on here as well, and that's what the tumah that we're talking about. But it's an important Radak in the sense of understanding what tumah means. It means that the Radak is drawing some, at least a metaphorical connection between the tumah the Torah defines in halachic senses of what doesn't let you in going to the Beit HaMikdash, and the tumah that's created by various sins. And even within that, there are sins where the tumah is created, but it's not at the same level as the sins of Avodah Zarah, of idol worship. Pasuk Dalet B'dameich Asher Shafacht Ashamt Uvigilulayich Asher Asit Tameit Vatakrivi Yamayich Vatavo Ad Shinotayich Alkein Etzichir Palagoyim Vekalasa Lechol Aratzot. So Yechezkel says that the b'damecha she'shafach, this blood that you spilled, you've become guilty, and all of your wrongs, the gilulim that you've done, have defiled you, and therefore your time has come, and you're coming to the end of your years, and therefore I'm going to make you a cherpa, an embarrassment among the nations, and a kalasa, they're going to scorn you and mock you in all the land. So Rashi says the phrase of Ad Shnotayich is a reference back to in Devarim when Hashem is warning us that when Moshe Rabbeinu is warning us that things can go wrong for us. So one of the phrases Moshe Rabbeinu uses is Vinoshantem Ba'aretz. Right, Vinoshantem Ba'aretz is that you'll become old in the land, but Chazal's tradition was that it's also a reference to the number of years you take the Gematria of Vinoshantem, the number of years that there will be, that they'll have within each of the Batim, and therefore this is a reference to that. The Radak points out, though, on the question of why would the Goyim mock us? Meaning, if they don't believe in Arayot, if they don't believe in Hashem, then the fact that they see us worshipping Arayot, committing Gili Arayot, engaging in wrong sexual relationships, or worshipping idols that are not our own, why is that part of them? So the Radak assumes that the non-Jewish nations will mock us and scorn us for leaving our own traditions, and that even if they don't buy into the tradition, the idea of leaving a tradition is one that they don't have any respect for, and that we will have sunk so low as to abandon our own tradition, whereas they keep to their tradition. Pasuk Hey Hakerovot V'Harichokot Mimeich Itkal Suvach Tmeat Hashem Rabat Hamihuma, that those who are close to you and far from you will mock you, and will scorn you, and they'll call you Tmeat Hashem Rebata Mehuma. They will call you defiled of name and full of confusion because of these wrongs that you're doing, that you're abandoning your ways, you're abandoning what Hashem told you to do. So in Pasuk Vav, Yineni Se Yisrael, Ish Lizroa Hayuvach Leman Shefoktam, the leaders were using their strength, Ish Lizroa, they would use their own strength in order to shed more blood. Avaim Hekaluvach Lager asuva oshik betochech yatam v'manah honuvach. So avayim ekalubach, they treat parents lightly or wrongly or improperly. The Rashi says that avayim ekalubach is being mentioned here because Rashi on the last pasuk says ish lizro is not only about the leaders, but it's about everybody. It was an atmosphere of kol da'alim gvar. It was an atmosphere of whoever could get away with whatever they could get away with would do it. So it's lawlessness. It's a lack of attention to law and right, and might was all that counted. And then on Avayim Hikalubach, Rashi says, Kol HaTo'evot Sheb'Parashat Kiddushim Tiyu Shehuzaru Alehem Nimnukan, all of the various wrongs that are listed in Kiddushim, and Rashi in Kiddushim tells us that Kiddushim used to be read at Hakel, used to be read at the public ceremony after the Shemitah year. This coming Sukkot will be a Hakel year. Rashi says that they are being told that they did all of the wrongs enumerated there as being wrongs in terms of what the Jewish people do. So one of them is Avayim Hekelabach, is not treating your parents appropriately. The Radak on the same pasuk says, it's telling you some of their terrible crimes, and the point of telling you the terrible crimes is to stay away from them. And then the Radak says, V'afilu lo yizhiru alehem ha-Torah, and even if the Torah doesn't explicitly tell you not to do these things, it's telling you to stay away from them. I would just point out also that in the Midrashim and the Gemara, some of the sins that we speak about here, so we're in Pasuk Zayin, Avay Mekalubach, Lager Asuva Oshek, in Pasuk Chet, Kodashai Bazit, you treated my holiness, my korbanot, my holy things, wrongly and improperly, V'chapotai Chilalt, and you defiled, you profaned, you didn't keep Shabbat, and then Pasuk Tev, Anshei Rechila Yuvach, Leman Shemokhdam, there are people who are bearing tales among each other with the intent of shedding blood, and they were eating, so literally it means towards the mountains, but it probably means some kind of an idol worship, and that's what there's probably blood involved in that as well, and Zima Asu V'Tochech, and then they do all kinds of immoral acts in your midst. So Yecheskel is just going through the various wrongs that they've done. But I'll point out that in this list, and Rashi pointed out that there were 24 of them, So various Midrashim pick on one or the other in saying that that was the key one that led to the destruction of Yerushalayim. So the Midrash Tanchuma says, Lo charvai Yerushalayim ela al kilkul hadin, that they didn't keep justice properly. The production of confusion, and confusion there means the kind of social confusion that's created when the court system is ineffective. So that's what led to the destruction of Yerushalayim. V'chein matzinu, there's a sifrei now in Bamidbar, which says, Shalom tchatem gzai dinan shal al Yerushalayim, ela al shen hagu min hag bizayon b'kodashim. That was the passage we just read, because it says, Kodashai bazit. So that was the thing that really sealed the deal, sealed their punishment. Amar Abaye, and this is Gemara in Shabbos now, kufyut ten amidbet, lo charvai Yerushalayim, ela bishvil shechilu bat ha-shabbat, because they didn't keep... they didn't keep Shabbat. So you have, so I don't know what it means necessarily that each one is named or pointed to as the reason that Yerushalayim was destroyed. So one says Lo Charva Ela, it wasn't destroyed part for this. Another one says Lo Nichatem Digzar Dinan, and the third one says Lo Charva Ela Bishvil. I'm not sure if they mean that was the only one, or if they mean that we assume that the pasuk is listing each of these as being independently sufficient to lead to Yerushalayim. Meaning it's not the whole of them as a build-up that leads to the destruction of Yerushalayim, but each and every one of them on their own was enough to lead to and to cause the destruction of Yerushalayim. And if that's what it means, then that's what the point is being made by these various sources, that you have to notice each one and see that each one was sufficient to destroy, to get Yerushalayim destroyed. Pasuk Yud Ervat Av Gilavacht Me'at Hanida Inuvach. So they uncover the nakedness of a father, meaning they committed that kind of an incestuous relationship, and also with anida, with women who are in a time of the month when they're not supposed to be having relations with their husbands. Vishet reshet ve'ehu asato eva, vishet kalatoti mevizima. People had improper relations with their friends, with their fellow Jews' wives, so that's adultery. Or people with their men, with their daughters-in-law, vishet kalato. So the Ramban here, the phrase is timei vizima vishet achato bat aviv inavach, and his sister from through a father he tortured. But Rashi, the Ramban picks up on the words timei vizima, and the Ramban thinks that this is one of the proofs that the arayot that are prohibited, the incestuous relationships that are prohibited, is not only prohibited to the men, right? If you read the psukim in the Torah, you might argue that the prohibitions apply only to the men and not to the women, because the Torah in that section addresses itself specifically to men, and the Ramban is arguing that no, it's not true, and that it probably means the men instigated, and therefore they're being addressed, but that the women are equally culpable and liable. He points to this as well as a proof of it, because if the kala, the daughter-in-law, is allowed to have these relationships, where it's not prohibited for her, then why would you say timei? Kala timei b'zimah? The Ramban points to this as saying, no, there's a tumah created, the tumah of sin, of it not being allowed. Pasuk yud bet, shochad lachku vach l'man shvachdam, and there's bribery going on in order to kill people. So here, l'man shvachdam, the question would be, and you could probably read it either way, does l'man shvachdam mean people are bribing other people so that they'd be allowed to kill people? Or do we mean that bribery is going on, and that bribery is the kind of activity, as we've seen in other activities before, that will tend to lead to murder being committed, and that's what's going on here. Neshech v'tabit lakachat, you've had interest being taken, v'tabatzi re'ayich v'oshek v'otisha chachat nu masham lokim, and you hurt, you damage, you defraud is what the JPS has it as, but you take from interest and you take wrongly from other people, and in doing so you show that you've forgotten Hashem. And now I'm upset, and the metaphor, the model, the imagery of Hashem being upset is he slaps his hands together on all the terrible things that you've done and all the blood that you've spilled. Hayamod, I apologize for that interruption. I was up to, I think, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'nehiketi chapi al bitz'eich asher asit v'adameich asher yivetucheich. The metaphor of God striking his hands together over the various wrongs that they have done. Rashi says, V'nehiketi chapi tz'akti vay v'kina, which is exactly what we're saying. And then al bitz'eich, so he says, Kan lamandu she'agazel kashem v'nakol sh'alav nilchatem gzardin. So he says, yet another tradition that it's over the theft, right? Because that's where Hashem says that he's striking his hands together. So again, it comes back to this question. Does it mean, do each of these various traditions mean to say this is the sin that leads to it? And then you have a problem, because then you have just a lot of different traditions. You'd have to argue that each one of them is focused on that, but they're each pointing to Zukim in our same parak. So it could be the Rashi saying, for all those different traditions, this one is obviously the more correct, because it's where Hashem focuses his hikedi chapi, but that only assumes and relies on the fact that bitzeich means your theft, your bribery, and those kinds of things. Well, not necessarily sure. It might just mean over all of your various wrongs, and then it might also be that each of these traditions is correct in the sense that what we really mean to say is that Hashem is listing in this parak things, each and every one of which would have been worthy of the punishment the Jews are about to get, but instead Hashem waited and now is complaining about all of them together. Pasuk Gidal Hayamod Libeich Im Techzakna Yadayich Layamim Asher Ani Oseh Otach Ani Hashem Dibarti VeAsiti. So Hashem says, you're really going to be able to stay. So the term, the word, seems to be courage, right? Will your courage endure? Will your heart stay strong and be firm for the things that I'm about to come to you? So what does that question kind of mean? I think it kind of means that Hashem has warned them repeatedly and remonstrated with them repeatedly, and they've stuck with what they were doing. So there's a certain kind of a strength of character in that, or a strength of purpose in that. So Hashem is saying, you're going to be able to stick with that, as I'm about to do all the things that I'm warning you about. I'm going to scatter you among the nations, and I'm going to wipe out the tumah from within you, and going to get rid of it. So that getting rid of process is not going to be a comfortable process, not going to be a pleasant process. And then you're going to be shamed in front of the various nations, because you're going to have been abandoned by your God and scattered, and you're going to know from that, or ideally you will know from that I am Hashem. So there's going to be a new section to this Nevuah, but the Nevuah until now is trying to make these points that the Jews have not been willing to realize what they've done, and they've insisted on standing strong, and now they're going to bear those consequences. And Hashem is going to say, are you going to be able to understand the lessons you need to learn from that? So Pasuk Yitzayin, Vayidra Hashem Elai Memor, Ben Adam, Hayuli Vet Yisrael Lesig, Kulam, Nechoshet Uvdil, Barzel Ofer Betoch Kur, Sigim Kesef Hayu. So Sigim are when you have spots of tarnish or dross or bad stuff within a metal. And the question is, what is Hashem truly trying to say here? They were like sig, they were their nechoshet uvdil ubarzel, their copper and tin and iron and oferet and lead in a smelting pot, in a crucible, betoch kur, sigim kesef hayu. The question is, what do we mean by sigim kesef? So the Radak suggests that sigim kesef means that that now they're sigim, but there was a time when they were kesef, and kesef was silver, and silver was, in the Radak's understanding, the cleanest of all the metals, and they weren't. He doesn't compare them to gold, ever having gold, because gold, he says, is something that's so clean there would have to be the imagery of generation after generation. So that certainly wasn't going to be true, but the point was that there have been times when the Jews have been good. So in that reading of the Radak, then what Pasuk is saying is, tell them that now they're all sigim, they're all these bad metals mixed in and tarnishes mixed in with the silver, but they weren't upon a time silver. Pasuk Yutet, Lachen Kuamar Hashem Elokim Yon Hayirku Lechem Nesigim Lachen Niko Veitzitchem Altoch Yerushalayim. Since you were you turned into sigim, we're going to gather you all into Yerushalayim, Kibutzat Kesev Nechoshet Barzel Vofer Uvdil Eltoch Kur Lafachar Alav Eish Lahantich Kenek Boats Be'api Uvachamati V'inachti V'itachti Etchem. So Hashem says, like you would do with silver, which had become mixed with impurities. So what do you do with silver and you mix with impurities? So silver is very resistant to heat, so you burn off the various impurities. And that's what Hashem is sort of promising that it will do there. Although interestingly, the one image you can have and you have elsewhere is you scatter them among the nations, and the only ones who get back are the ones who are free of various sins or who have cleansed themselves of various sins. So then the purification process happens in the galut. But here Hashem says, I'm going to gather you into Yerushalayim. Right, all of you, the silver ones, or the those of you who are silver, and the nechoshet, and the copper, iron, lead, and tin, into a crucible, into a smelting pot, right? And I'm going to pour the fire onto it, and that's what I'm going to do to you with my anger. So we're being very clear. It's not a pleasant process here. V'nachti v'tachti etchem. I'm going to purify you. You're going to be melted by this. I'm going to gather you with the fierce anger. You're going to be melted by this. I'm going to blow on you with the fire. And you're going to be melted in the fire. Like silver. So the image is very close to being exactly what Hashem is promising the Jewish people is going to happen to them. That there's going to be a burning process, and that burning process will burn off all of the impurities, and what will be left will be a pure silver, but it will be as painful as it would as we would imagine it being for us if we were in furnaces with it being pure, burned off. So Hashem says to her, tell Eretz Yisrael, to the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, you are a land that is not been mitohara, that is not cleansed. Lo gushma biyom za'am. So the question is what these words mean. So literally they seem to mean that there was no rain on a yom za'am, on the day of anger, although it's not clear what that means. And the Gemara in Zvachim on Kuf Yud Gimel struggles with the Machlokas Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Mu'e Met Makra Eretzon Milo Metu Arad. You're not cleansed. Klum Yardu Alayef Shamim Biyom Zam. Was there any rain that fell on you in the day of Zam? Meaning, the rain in that case might have mitigated the fire, and since it didn't, you should be cleansed. Wasn't there rain in this time, and that will prevent it from being fully tahor? So, in those readings, it would seem to be that the question is that unless we go through the full purification process, then we're not going to be purified. So this is supposed to be a daunting prospect, that we are by virtue of our sins and by virtue of our impurities needing to go through this full purification process. It is a painful process and a problematic process and a difficult process, but unless we go through it, Eretz won't be fully mitorah. And that's the question that Hashem is raising here, one way or the other. So puzzle of hey keshen neviyah betucha ka'arish shoeg toreif taref nefesh. I'm sorry, toreif taref nefesh achalu. So he says there's a cabal, a group decision of its Nevi'im. So the Radak points out, we're talking about the Nevi'ah Sheker here. They made an agreement among them that they would do this terrible thing, that they would prophesy all in the same vein to say shalom, shalom, to say everything's okay. So if you say everything's okay, then people refrain from feeling the need to improve. If there's no emergency, right, it would be like, and I don't necessarily mean to be political, but let's suppose there are some people who purposely either promote the idea that there's global warming and say there's an emergency, that's one way, but here the better parallel would be, just because it's parallel to what's going on here, if you promote the idea that there's no global warming, you object to it, and you are also an expert, so then you muddy up the water. So if it were true that global warming is a huge problem, and you have people muddying the water, so that would be similar to what Yechezkel is complaining about here. You have a Keshe Neviyah. The Radak understands Keshe Neviyah. I mean, so partially this depends on how you understand the Neviyah Sheka. Were there people who misled themselves into believing they were Neviim, but there was some level of sincerity? Or did they know they were false Neviim and they were just faking it completely? So the Radak certainly sees it the second way, because he thinks not only did they know they were Neviyah Sheka, they made agreements with each other to falsify their nevuah and to say there's no problem. And now if you say there's no problem, that means that when Nevi'im like Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu come and say you need to do tshuva, you need to change your ways, you need to go back, and you have these other Nevi'im saying shalom, shalom, everything is fine, so that will lead to the difficulties that the Jews have in recognizing what the truth is and grappling with what they have to do. So that's the Nevi'im in Pasuk Kaf Hei. So they're like a lion coming to destroy and coming to tear up people. Here too, these Nevi'im, by virtue of their Nevuot, they eat souls. and they take the treasure and the wealth because it's going to go into galut because they didn't know that they had to do tshuva, and it's going to lead to there being many widows, because men will die in war and various other things. There'll be many, many widows, and all of it stems, or much of it stems, from these nevi'im. There are others at fault, however, in the leadership as well. Pasuk Avav, Kohanea, Chamsu Torati, Vaychalalu Kodashai Ben Kodesh L'chol Hivdilu. So the Kohanim, who are supposed to be the teachers of Torah, they have grabbed the Torah and cheated it and wronged it, and they've defiled the Kodashim, and they haven't distinguished between Kodesh and Chol. And they didn't tell people who are Tameh that they were really Tameh. They didn't make that distinctions as they should have. And they also turned their eyes away from Shabbat, from keeping Shabbat properly, and therefore I, Hashem, have become sacrileged or blasphemed or profaned is the English word in the JPS among them. So Rashi says on Chamsu Torati, not that they themselves violated the Torah, and here it fits with the rest of the pasuk well, the way Rashi is saying it, it's just that they didn't tell other people what they were doing wrong, and so then that's a theft, that they should have been teaching people the right way to do things and they didn't. So I can easily imagine that Kohanim could say to themselves, well, if I'm unpleasant to people and I tell them what they're doing wrong and I'm just mean to them, they won't come back, they won't want to hear, and they won't learn anything. So maybe I shouldn't do this. But the end result in this instance, at least the way Yechezkel is portraying it, is it leads to the Kodashim get to be profane. They don't distinguish Kodesh, sanctified, from not in the right way. They don't distinguish Tameh and Tahor. And you can easily imagine that, right? People come to Yerushalayim. They walked all the way from the north of Eretz Yisrael, from Dan. They walked for 2 weeks. They come to Yerushalayim. They have a korban. Turns out they're Tameh. What do you tell them? And they're poor people. They were coming out of the goodness of their hearts. They wanted to serve Hashem. You say sorry. And they become Tameh made somehow. They become visually impure by contact with a corpse. He said to them, sorry, you're going to have to wait a week until you get to be Tahar. And they can't wait a week because they have to go back to the farm up north and do whatever they're doing. And their korban, they spent a lot of money on. You say, well, I can't offer it for you because you're Tameh, or because the korban got Tameh. So it's easier to just say, no, you know what, we'll do this, we'll take care of it, don't worry about it. Same thing with Shabbos. And we see this in our days in a lot of contexts, meaning the balance between, or how you balance between when people are going to listen to you and you tell them what the truth is and you get them to change, or you at least protest what they're doing wrong. So sometimes you do, and then sometimes you say to yourself, well, it's not effective and it's not efficient and it's not worth it because they won't bother sticking around to hear more. So that set of questions is an extremely difficult set of questions, and I could see them fitting in here. Now again, if you want to take the Kohanim as just being evil, then the answer is they just refuse to teach Torah. And that's the way Rashi is taking it, seemingly, and the Radak is as well. The Radak says, HaKohanim Shalem Lo Rota Torah Gazlu Ota. And so they also violate it, and since they violate it, how can they warn other people about it? So Rashi didn't say that they violated it, it's just that they refrained from teaching it. Radak is saying, no, they really got caught up in the not doing it themselves. And they ate Kodesh Betumah, they ate Korbanot when they were themselves ritually impure, and they didn't do all the teaching the Jewish people they were doing, and when they saw people carrying on Shabbos and doing things they were supposed to do, it was their job to protest, their job to try to stop it, and they refrain from trying to stop it, as I mentioned before. So Hashem blames them for that. Pasuk of Zion, Sareha Bekirba, Kizevim Tarfei Taref, Lishbok Dam, Abed Nevashot, Leman Bitso Abata. So this goes back to the themes we saw earlier in the parak, that the leaders, and these are not the religious leaders, these are just officials. The officials of the community were like wolves who were coming to jump on their prey, to murder and to kill people in order to make money, in order to profit. Pasuk Chafchet, Uneviyeha tachu lahem tafel, chozim shav, vikosmim lahem kazav, omrim komar Hashem Elokim, vashem lo diber. And the prophets are like people who, I feel like we've seen this metaphor before, yeah, in Perek Yud Gimel, the prophets are like building a wall, and they don't build it properly, right? Toflim tafel, tachu lahem tafel, chozim shav, as they put up a fake plaster that's not a good plaster, that doesn't work, that doesn't really hold, and they try to magically produce wrong images, and they say, this is what Hashem said, when in fact Hashem didn't say it at all. So that's Rashi says about the plaster, that it's plaster that wasn't properly put together, and therefore it's not going to hold, and they and then they lead the people astray. So Pasuk Chavtet, Ama Aretz Asheku Oshek, because Lugazel, Vaniv, Evion, Honu, Vetagir, Ashku, Below Mishpat. So you shouldn't think it's only leaders. It's not only the Kohanim and the Nevi'im and the Sarim, but the regular people. Whoever was, as the Radak says, whoever's stronger than anybody else, they would rob and cheat and steal, and they would do it to the poor and the impoverished. The people were defenseless, and the ger, in this case, the ger is somebody who therefore doesn't have a family clan protection, and they can just steal from them, so they prey on the innocent and on the underprivileged, and they take from them. And this is a crime that Yechezkel is protesting. Pasuk Lamin va'avakesh mehem ish goder gader ve'omeid ba'peretz lefanai be'ad ha'aretz levilti shachata v'lo matzati. And Hashem says, I sought out, I looked for maybe one person who would be able to turn the society around and who would be able to stand in the breaches of all of these evildoers, and he would stand before them and stop them from doing all these terrible things. And then the Radak mentions, like Moshe Rabbeinu did, and there was nobody like that. So it's interesting because Yirmiyahu is not that person because he doesn't succeed at getting to stop it. So it's interesting to wonder whether Radak sort of understands the pasuk to mean that had there been somebody like that, so that person, that Nevuah doesn't do that. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu always got the people to listen to him by virtue of the fact that he was a Navi and he could bring down upon them lightning and thunder, lightning or earthquakes or punishments of various sorts. That there's some implication in the Radak, at least, that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu had a political power that wasn't important to his role in the Jewish people. And that's what Hashem is saying here. I was looking around for somebody who could fulfill that role, and I didn't find anybody. I'm going to, it says, I have, therefore, really it hasn't happened yet, but I'm going to pour out on them my anger and consume them with my fury. I'm going to lead them, and their ways are going to lead to their various punishments. So, as we have seen before, the later chapters of Yechezkel, I promise you get to be more cheery and more comforting, but here, the point being hammered home, I once heard a speaker say, you have to say something 10 times in order for it to be heard one time. Certainly Yechezkel seems to be, Yechezkel Nevuot, the Nevuot that Hashem gives Yechezkel seem to follow some of that theory that say that you have to make these points over and over again, and the points being, not only have the Jews sinned in their past, not only have they rejected the traditions that Hashem gave them, but that even in this time, they're sinning in ways that are astounding in terms of murder and fraud and other kinds of defilements, and it's their leaders and it's their society and it's everybody, and there's no leader to take them out of that. And for all of those reasons, the Jewish people are facing the full fury of Hashem giving them what they actually deserve. And once again, we finish the chapter knowing that if only they, and we in our times in a slightly in a different way, but if only they and we would learn the lessons ahead of time, we would not need to bear Hashem putting our, as the phrase in the last pasuk says, to be giving darkam beroshan natati, to putting their ways on their heads and giving them the full punishment that they deserve. Have a great day.